Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson, and this is the Paul Revere Show, and I'm privileged to have Sarah Godlewski with us this evening for the second half of our show. Sarah is running for the U.S. Senate spot. Just before we went on the break, I was talking about Senator Ron Johnson and his declaration that, you know, President Biden won fair and square, and the reason he won fair and square is that President Trump didn't get enough Republican votes. And so here we are. Sarah, why don't you say hi to the audience? Tell us who you are and why you got in the race.
Well, Mark, it's great to be here and saying hello to all of your listeners. Now, I will be completely honest. I never thought that I would be running for a position like this, but I am a proud fifth generation Wisconsinite from Western Wisconsin. I'm actually the daughter of two public school teachers. So a shout out to all of your listeners who have been supporting or are involved in our public schools, and the product of a union family. And something that my parents always talked about is they would say, you know, Sarah, when you see something wrong, you've got to stand up and do something about it. And for me, that really happened this time when I was serving as state treasurer. So during the pandemic, you know, at the height of it, Mark, 1.2 million Wisconsinites couldn't pay their bills. And so when I was looking at what Ron Johnson was doing, it was really frustrating because I would be asking about, what are you doing about frontline workers? And he would say, Sarah, that's not my problem. And so then I would try to do what I could with my executive authority to finance, you know, 300 infrastructure projects. Or I would look at home ownership and there weren't any funds to help homeowners. And I would be like, what are we doing about it? Not my problem. And so I would go start a home ownership fund to like keep people in their homes. And so just being scrappy. And it just got to a point where I'm like, enough is enough. I would say, there was probably two other kind of incidents that happened, Mark. One is after the CARES Act package was passed. Remember, that was the first package to help with the bailout. And when I saw that Delta Airlines got more money than childcare, I'm like, this is a problem, is that we need more working moms at that U.S. Senate table. And then January 6th, as you know, someone who started their career in national security, and Ron Johnson's calling it a peaceful protest. So I'm like, three strikes. Like, I just can't sit on the sidelines, and I had to get in this race because we deserve somebody who's actually going to deliver for the people of our state.
Well, that's, I agree 100%. We need a senator that can deliver. So I heard a rumor that you introduced a new proposal on mental health today. Is that true?
I did. I actually kicked off my mental health plan today in Green Bay, Wisconsin. You know, Mark, I will tell you something that I have heard almost every single stop is about somebody that has been struggling with mental health, whether it is a family member or a son, a daughter, or a parent or a community member. And it, you know, it's doesn't matter if you're in rural Wisconsin or in Milwaukee or Waukesha or in Madison, it's real. And look, like, we see the numbers. I mean, 55 of our counties in Wisconsin don't have enough psychiatrists. And we know 1 in 3 kids are struggling with mental health. 1 in 4 seniors are struggling with mental health, and we don't have the resources. And this is truly what I believe is a shadow pandemic, because we don't have, whether it's insurance coverage or it's just really this piecemeal reactionary system that I believe is failing the American people in living and having the best quality of life possible.
So help me understand, help my listeners understand, how is it that Sarah, as a U.S. senator, can help deliver that kind of relief? How do you see that playing out?
Well, so there's a few things, and let's just start with what's wrong with the system. Right now, the system is really broken. I mean, it is a completely reactionary system that doesn't have enough doctors or social workers or counselors that can deliver. And so for me, it's a few things. Let's first start, for example, with the system being broken. You know, a lot of insurance companies don't cover behavioral health support. And so you have to literally wait to wit's end to almost submit yourself to the ER before you can get any sort of mental health support. That's crazy, because we actually know outpatient support is incredibly effective. But if people can't get that support covered through their insurance, that's really hard. And like one of the examples, Mark, that I'm just blown away with is we, for example, have an opioid crisis in Wisconsin, and detox support with opioids is not covered by a majority of insurance companies. And so, I mean, this is once again an example of pharmaceutical companies continuing to take advantage. Going back to 55 counties do not have enough psychiatrists or any sort of mental health support. And what I get really frustrated about is people will say, well, Sarah, you know, in those counties, they can just do telemedicine. And I'm like, well, 28% of rural Wisconsin doesn't have access to broadband. So that's a problem. And when we think about how can we get more psychiatrists and social workers and counselors in the system, well, we've got to make sure we're incentivizing them. A lot of times what's happening is they take years and years of college, but yet the jobs that are out there don't even cover their student debt. So they can't even like own a home or a livable wage. And so to me, it's helping to kind of build the pipeline so we have the support system that we need and incentivizing folks to do that.
Sounds like very, very important to day-to-day lives. So Senator Johnson, what's his record on mental health been?
I mean, Mark, you know, I think the question really at the end of the day is, where is Senator Ron Johnson and what is this guy doing? You know, like here we are right now talking about a critical issue that affects a lot of Wisconsinites. And we know Ron Johnson's like, you know, perpetuating junk science, telling people to take, you know, hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, or, you know, pushing jobs away from Oshkosh, Wisconsin to South Carolina, because apparently he'd rather be the senator from there. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. Like, he just hasn't been around for anything about mental health. He hasn't been an advocate. But then again, this is his MO. He's never been, I believe, a senator that's delivered for Wisconsin. And that's why we deserve better than him.
So we're talking about mental health and your ideas there. There have been so much, or put it this way, ever since this decision was leaked by the U.S. Supreme Court on this, the issue of choice and where we're going, how do you see that playing out? And is that an issue that's close and dear to you?
Well, as the only woman in this US Senate primary, Mark, I will tell you, this is an absolute nightmare. And why it is an absolute nightmare is because in Wisconsin, we have a abortion ban in the books that dates back to 1849. And there's no exception for rape or incest. And further, Mark, as you know, I mean, what's the consequence? It will jail doctors for up to 6 years or $10,000 in fines. And so to me, I just cannot believe I'm actually looking at an opportunity where I could go back to 1849. And I don't think women want to go backwards either.
You know, it's really quite remarkable when you frame it that way, that we're looking at a situation in the state that we're going to go back, right? 1849.
Yeah.
1849. That is before the Civil War, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, we didn't have women voting until 1919. I mean, we are in a situation that is going to take our children back, like, more than a century. So as the candidate running, how do you see your voice playing out on that?
Well, I think that, look, you know, it's crazy for me to think that I might have less rights than my mother and my grandmother, and that my kids might have less rights than them as well. I mean, you know, Ron Johnson said, if you don't like it, you can move. Well, we already have a brain drain problem in this state. We don't need anything else to deter, you know, whether it is my generation or younger from staying in this state or coming home. And businesses right now are looking at Wisconsin and thinking, how am I going to be able to recruit if there's this complete abortion ban on the books and no exception for rape or incest? I mean, how are women going to be able to make these economic decisions that are so important for us? Because as one doctor said to me, Mark, you know, there are those who have abortions, and it's, and then there are those who love those who have had abortions, because one in four women have had or gone through some sort of abortion type care. And so this is not some sort of like anomaly or, you know, unique thing that happens. This is something that, you know, a lot of women face. And what I get frustrated with is I don't want somebody like Ron Johnson telling me what my healthcare decisions can be. Like, I want my doctor and I to make those decisions, not somebody like Ron Johnson or Mitch McConnell. And that's exactly what they are putting on the table with this national abortion ban if the Republicans take control of the Senate.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. What are you hearing from folks around the state on this issue? As you know, because I know from everything I read and watch, you're very, very active out there, and you've talked to a lot of people. What are you hearing from people on the street?
Well, I even want to like take it back, Mark, to when I heard about the leak. I was actually in Washington, D.C. I was there for an Emily's List convention, which is this pro-choice Democratic women's organization. And after dinner, I immediately turned around and I was at the Supreme Court till about 1:30 in the morning with other activists. I went back again on Tuesday night. And then on Wednesday morning, we were filming an ad, and it was basically just me talking to the camera. And it was like what I think about all the time, you know, like we are going to have to face this cruel abortion ban. And people were saying to me, Mark, they were like, look, Sarah, thank you, because I am so frustrated that we have had the White House, the Senate, and the House, and we've had 50 years to codify this law, but yet it continues to be an extra credit project. And like, enough is enough. And I think part of what we need to do is elect more pro-choice Democratic women, because they will prioritize it, because they think about it every day. And to me, I think that rings entirely true to, once again, we see somebody like Ron Johnson who calls Roe a tragedy, when we know it was something that really empowered women to make the best healthcare decisions for themselves.
You know, the other ironic thing, and we're coming up on a break here and we can follow up on the other side, but, you know, it takes a man and a woman to make a baby, or right? And there's never any talk by Senator Johnson or folks about regulating men or my right to have sex, right? Nobody's saying like, put me in jail or put my doctor in jail because I'm out there messing around. I mean, it's just, to me, it's absurd, this whole notion that women are not going to have equal rights. Yeah. So, folks, think about that. We'll be back with Sarah on the other side. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are concerned about democracy here in this state. We'll be right back.